Good afternoon and welcome to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. I'm John Coffey alongside with Matt Tritton. And we've got a good show coming up as we'll be talking a lot of basketball during this show as the Northwest Missouri State men's and women's basketball teams get the conference portion of their season underway this Thursday as they head down to Joplin to face Missouri Southern, then on to Pittsburgh, Kansas on Saturday as they'll battle Pittsburgh State there. But Matt, first of all, let's just talk a little bit of Bearcat football. Here's the Northwest football team saw their season come to a close, a hard-fought battle up in Allendale, Michigan. A loss to Grand Valley State in the second round of the Division II playoffs. But, boy, a heck of a season for the Bearcats and a tough loss to end things. But they went up against a very good Grand Valley State team, and defense really was the name of the game for both of those teams on Saturday.
Yeah, we kind of had a feeling going in that that would be one that could be an awfully low-scoring football game, just judging by the way the defenses had played throughout the season, and they did not disappoint at all. That was a great football game between two Division II powerhouses in Northwest Missouri State and Grand Valley State. Unfortunately, the Bearcats just came up on the wrong end of that one, but a 13-8 ball game. And again, you kind of look at it, if you're a fan of offense, you're saying, there's not much scoring. I don't know if I'd enjoy that. There were a lot of yards moved up and down between the 20s, but those defenses were so stellar in the red zone. There were some critical turnovers within the football game, some missed kicks as well. So it was an exciting football game top to bottom. And I think that's one, too, that you kind of look at those two programs. You should put high expectations on that football game. You know, regardless of what the record is, you kind of put that on every rivalry game. Well, that doesn't matter what the records are. It's going to be a great football game. That one truly lived up to it. For a second-round playoff game, that could have been a semifinal, a region championship, a national championship for as exciting as that game was. So hate to see Northwest go down, but at this point it's like, all right, we'll see what Grand Valley State can do from here as they get set for a rematch of the Anchorbone Classic, meeting up with Ferris State in the region championship coming up next weekend. But can't say enough about what Northwest Missouri State football did this year, overcoming injuries, battling back, a six-game win streak with their backs against the wall there after a tough one-point loss to Pittsburgh State. So this team really went through a lot throughout the season and battled through, and I think that's something Bearcat fans can be proud of.
Oh, no doubt about that. And even you talked about the injuries earlier in the season that they had. Well, even the last game, I guess, it's just kind of the way the season went. A lot of the guys on that team hit with some sort of a flu bug or something along the head. A lot of them out throughout the week for practice. They had some guys on IVs Friday night trying to get their fluids ready to go for Saturday. Mike Hornsey, he battled it all week. They weren't sure whether he could go or not, so Braden Wright got the start, but Mike came in the second quarter, and he battled and played very well the rest of the way. But they had to overcome a lot just to make that game as close as it was on Saturday, just due to the illness that was going through that team.
You know, they always talk about leadership and everything coming top down for the way that you want to set the tone for a program. It started at the top. Coach Wright was not feeling well at all either. He was also beat up by that same bug that was going around, making everybody sick throughout the team. And yet he was stood there, and he was on the sideline coaching hard into that ball game. You know, had a chance after the game to come up and spoke with us post game, and at least got to take a seat there to do that interview. But I mean, he was going for what, probably 6 hours straight by the time you go in and get on the bus and get to the stadium and go throughout the entire warm-ups and the game, the post game and everything. I mean, so it kind of started there with setting the tone of like, I'm not going to let this affect my performance, don't let it affect yours either. And I think really all those guys that were battling, including Mike, again, only 8 points put up for Northwest. He didn't throw the ball too poorly. I mean, he made some big plays for Northwest, made some plays with his legs, too, at the same time. Coach mentioned Peak, a defensive back there, also stepped up and played a good game despite kind of going through those same things. So, yeah, it was a season full of adversity, and they came out with a playoff win, a 10-win season, and now a chance to turn around. And you know what? They're going to get back on the recruiting trail. Those coaches are already hard at work there. And I think this is one that they kind of look at and say, boy, if we could have got Pittsburgh State one more time or get another shot at Ferris, would have loved that opportunity. But you've got quite a few months here to get working and head back toward that goal.
And a case could be made that this was kind of a transition year for the team, too, with as many young players that were in the starting lineup and were expected to perform well, and they did. I mean, it's kind of a year where you saw just such a very young team make some strides, and the future is very bright for this team with those guys getting that experience this year, and it's got to pay off for the upcoming year or two.
Well, wrap your mind around that for a second, too. This was a transition year that you won 10 games, made in the playoffs, wiped out Ouachita on their home field, and nearly knocked out the number one team in the country. I mean, we talk a lot about, boy, a lot of teams would love to just have a winning season every year. Northwest has been in the playoffs 18 years in a row. I mean, they were that close, one defensive stop away from going into the region championship next week in a transition year like this. So, yeah, I mean, this is a the expectations for this program are sky high every single season, and they continue to go out there and lay it all on the line. So it's something you have to be able to appreciate as a Bearcat fan, a Northwest alum, just a sports fan in general.
Yeah, sometimes you take for granted exactly the success that football program has had through the years, but it's really almost boring on ridiculous. Year after year after year, they put together winning seasons, playoff appearances. You talk about Ouachita, they were ranked number 3 in the nation going into that game. And so and they're going just hammered to Ouachita Baptist down there, and then they turn around and face the number 1 ranked team in the nation, Grand Valley State. So it's a tough region to go through as well, and along those lines too. That other end with Ferris State and Pittsburgh State, Pittsburgh State had an opportunity with a field goal to win that down the stretch and just didn't get that done. But a lot of people feel, and probably rightfully so, that the national championship goes through the Super Region 3.
Yeah, and Tony Anise, the head coach for Ferris State, kind of made a plea through his media conference after that game against Pittsburgh State, saying, look, this was a 3-point game here on our home field that Pittsburgh State had a chance to win. Just down the road, Northwest Missouri State and Grand Valley State battled. It was a late score in the final 2 minutes for Grand Valley to win that football game. And he's kind of sitting there pleading, break up the MIAA and the GLIAC. Put them in separate regions because these matchups shouldn't be happening now. And you know what? We see it in the Central Region for volleyball. We see it in the Central Region for soccer. We also see it in basketball throughout. I mean, it's really difficult because everybody, I feel like, in the Midwest somehow finds a way to play their best, and if you break out and you find a way to get through that region, you have a chance to win it all, and more often than not, that happens.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And what was funny, I thought, during Saturday was the rivalry between Ferris State and Grand Valley State is so big that once they made the announcement that Pittsburgh State had come back and tied up the game, one of the loudest cheers from the Grand Valley fans over and above what was taking place on the field, and that was the fact that Ferris State saw that lead right there, and the fans just love that in Grand Valley.
Oh, they did. They did. It was funny. We're talking with some folks in the press box before, just kind of getting a feel for it, and the folks at and Allendale were good to us throughout our time there. But as we're up there talking to them, so if Pittsburgh State wins and Northwest wins, then obviously Pittsburgh is moving on. The Bearcats would drive down to Pittsburgh, Kansas, instead of flying back up to Michigan the following week. So talking to those folks, well, Grand Valley State hates Ferris. So 3 of the 4 teams still standing in the region, all their fans are rooting against Ferris State. So it was kind of an us against the world for the Bulldogs in that one. They'll still have a chance to go through and take on Grand Valley this upcoming weekend. But, yeah, that's a pretty salty rivalry. For as much as we look at the Bearcats and the Gorillas, the Bearcats and the Griffins, that one's a little bit different.
Yeah, it really is. I think in 18 when we went up and defeated Grand Valley State in the that one round, then the next week went back to play Ferris State. There's a lot of Grand Valley fans in the stands with shirts disparaging Ferris State. They're rooting for Northwest. And it was a significant amount of people that made the trip up to Big Rapids to cheer on the Bearcats and cheer against Ferris State. But at any rate, help with the atmosphere for the Bearcats in that.
Well, if I recall, you paid a pretty hefty sum to one of those Ferris or those Grand Valley fans to get one of those shirts disparaging Ferris. And every time I go by, you're cleaning up your yard for leaves. You're always wearing that shirt. So you really don't like Ferris either, from what I gather.
Well, I don't know. I don't recall that part of it.
Well, sure.
But at any rate, again, a good football season come to a close for Northwest, and now basketball, the conference portion of the season, getting ready to roll, and it should be a fun year for both the Bearcat men and women coming up.
Oh, it really should. You know, you think about the Northwest Missouri State men's team, and of course, they're coming off another national championship. They're ranked number 1 in the country. They're 6-0 so far on the season. Had a good tune-up on Saturday against Morningside. So now things ramp up just a little bit more, even despite playing a really tough non-conference schedule. You know, everybody in the MIAA really guns for Northwest because, A, they want a chance at a conference title. You got to take down the Kings to be able to get that. But also, at the same time, they want to be able to say, yeah, we were one of the teams that knocked them off whenever they win another national championship. You know, was it Emporia State swept the Bearcats in the regular season last year and got to sit back and watch Northwest win it all? So it's a decent trade-off there for the Bearcats. But, yeah, it's one that everybody gets their game up to another level whenever they play Northwest Missouri State on the men's side. So that'll be interesting, too. New coaching staff, Jeff Boshies, now is over at Pittsburgh State, who we'll see coming up on Saturday, too. On the women's side, A team that won 17 games last year continues to improve. They've got five players that were redshirting last year. They're kind of finding their way into the mix and the rotation. It does feel like, and I'm kind of harp on it a lot, but offensively they do feel like they've taken a step in the right direction. A few more shooters out there, and the confidence building up for everyone across the board too. So it'll be fun to see what this team can do. It starts with a very tough matchup against Missouri Southern, who's coming off winning the MIAA regular season title a season ago. They have the player of the year in Lacey Stokes, who was also the freshman of the year in the MIAA. But despite all that, we look at last year's meetings between Northwest and Missouri Southern, a 61-51 win for the Bearcats in Maryville, and then a 56-49 loss. So that's a team that went through and won the conference, and you have a 10-point win and just a single-digit loss. So it's a Bearcat team that's matched up well with Missouri Southern, and looking forward to this one coming up on Thursday.
And when you look at the non-conference portion of the schedule for both the men and women, they haven't been afraid to play some tough competition to start with, and that's got to pay off too as you go into this conference title.
Oh, I think so for sure, because you think about how tough this league is. On the men's side, we talk a lot about the Northwest men, but on the women's side, it just feels like there are so many teams that could win any given night. And, you know, one team gets hot at the right time, could go through and find a way to win a conference title. That was a Missouri Southern team that had been near the bottom of the conference for an awful lot of years. Coach Ronnie Russell slowly built them back up. And then, boy, again, they got Lacey Stokes, and they shot to the top of the conference. So it is such a tough league that you kind of have to throw yourself some difficult games in there to say this is what it's going to be like whenever we actually do get into MIAA play. So we'll see how it all pans out for Northwest Missouri State, but it should be a good first trip down south.
And we still have one fall sport continuing on. The national championships coming up later this week in Seattle with the cross-country national championships, and the Northwest women well-represented heading out that direction.
Oh, well-represented in a big way. Northwest made a couple trips to the national championship meet in the mid-90s. Now getting back there this year with a team spearheaded by Caroline Cunningham, which I think at this point it's easy to say, safe to say that she is the fastest Bearcat women's runner of all time in cross country in those longer distances. Multiple times she's broke her own record in the 6K this year and the 5K, and we'll have a chance to go up into Washington and put on a good showing for the Bearcats. Finished third in the region overall. She was the MIAA championship meet individual champ, so she's having a terrific year. Amber Owens was top 10 at the region meet. Kaylee Harps run well. Alina Thibault. And so it's a group that's done well overall. They're pretty deep, and so it'll be fun to see what they can do as they head up to Washington. But a heck of a trip there, and Coach Cunningham and his crew, they've had one heck of a season.
Yeah, they certainly have, and again, the future's bright for that program as well.
It is. You know, you think about it, Northwest football, soccer, volleyball, and cross country all making it to the championship rounds, if you will, into the postseason beyond nationally. So it's amazing.
And when you had tennis this fall too, being represented in doubles at the ITA national championships this fall, so a lot of pressure on basketball now to kind of carry on with what the fall sports did.
You know, I think that's pressure that they invite. They're all right with that.
Yeah,
they've had some fun with that over the years. Of course, the men's team, and boy, that women's team, they're a chippy squad ready to get after.
Yeah,
so it'll be fun to watch.
Again, we're broadcasting live from Pizza Ranch in Maryville on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We've got a lot more coming up right after this timeout.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations at usbank.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW is provided by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by local internet provider United Fiber, providing a variety of fiber-fast internet plans for residents and businesses with speeds up to 1 gig. More information is available online at unitedfiber.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest Missouri community since 1873 through ministries such as the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and the Prenery House. More at conceptionabbey.org.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in-store or at pizzaranch.com.
How much time do we have to
Back at Pizza Ranch here in Maryville on KXCV KRNW, talking Northwest Missouri State women's basketball. We are joined by Molly Hartnett and Emma Atwood from the Bearcat women's basketball team. And it looks like we've got the microphones on. Headsets are good to go, right? Can you hear me?
Yep.
No, I can't. Oh, there
we go. Is that better?
Yep.
There we go. We're getting things squared away. It's still early in the basketball season, so we're kind of working out the kinks now. Non-conference portion wrapped up for now, at least. I think there's at least one more coming up as we get a little bit closer to the new year. But, Molly, how's this kind of feel like going through five games, three exhibitions? What's the feeling of the team like right now?
Right now, I think we've made quite a bit of jumps from the beginning all the way to now. We've played against some really good teams that have really prepared us for this MIAA beginning. I think we are ready for the MIAA, and I think we can show some good stuff this year.
You guys were throwing in with some tough matchups, Division I-wise, to start off, Mizzou and Drake. Do you like going in and kind of taking those lumps and matching up with a team with so much length and size early on to kind of get a feel for it?
Yeah, I think it's just good competition. I mean, obviously they're all much taller and much longer than all of us, so it's just good to go out there and get the practice against someone that's you're not really getting to play against in conference like that's that big or that tall. So it's good for our team to get comfortable early in the season against better opponents and work out. Beginnings.
Emma, for you, not able to actually get on the floor and play in game action until Sunday of this week. So during those non-conference games, those exhibition games, I should say, you're kind of sitting back, another coach on the bench, and getting everybody fired up and going. Do you see the game from a different perspective when you've had a chance to sit there and watch? And, of course, you're redshirted, you've gone through injuries, you've had plenty of time on that bench. I know you'd like to be out there more, but does it change the perspective of what you're watching and how you play when you're out there?
Yeah, I feel like watching, I kind of feel dumb sometimes when I'm out on the floor. Like, you just see from the bench so many more open things that you don't realize are on the court. So, yeah, honestly, obviously, sitting on the bench and being injured isn't ideal, but you do see a lot more from, yeah, the sideline, just, like, the moves you can make wise, kind of like the issues we need to fill with defense, just, like, the little things. So, I think it was good to be able to see those, and then kind of like Molly said, playing those exhibition games was good for us. Obviously, they're a lot bigger, but I think we build a lot of toughness in those games because we have to play like we're big even if we're not, and a lot of the things we need to work on get exposed in those exhibition games, so those are good for us early on to see and then hopefully fix those as the season progresses.
So you talk about getting out there and you're seeing things from the bench and it just goes so fast you're on the floor. It's hard to kind of see and know the movements and where to go at certain points. Does it feel like when you get your first game action, a win over Peru State on Sunday, it took a little bit to get back in the swing of things and the rotations because watching it, you see one thing, but then you get out there and it moves a little bit faster.
Yeah, the floor seems a lot more crowded once you're out there from the bench. But, being able to practice the last month or two, like, fully has, I think, helped me get, like, into the swing of things pretty quickly, so it didn't take me too long to, I feel like, get out there and get comfortable just because I have been playing in practice and stuff with the rotation, so yeah. But it was nice to be out there and, yeah, kind of take what I hopefully learned from the bench and use it now that I'm on the floor.
Northwest Missouri State women's basketball getting set to open up MIAA play on Thursday in Joplin against Missouri Southern, a team that won the conference a season ago, and Molly, last year, you had a 10-point win in Maryville over Missouri Southern and a 7-point loss in Joplin. This is a team that's really good. They've got the MIAA Player of the Year, and yet the Bearcats actually outscored them in a couple of meetings they played in last season. What's the feeling like going into this matchup with a really good Lions team?
Yeah, I think this year our team especially has gotten so much better over the summer and just with these first few games. So I think going into this first game this week, it's going to be tough, but I think if we do what we need to do on the defensive end and score the basketball and do what we know how to do, then we should get the win.
Emma, what is it about the matchup with Missouri Southern or why the Bearcats were able to kind of take them out of their rhythm? Because they do have playmakers all over. Lacey Stokes is a really good guard. They've got good size inside, but they just, especially offensively, can't get anything going against the Bearcats.
Yeah, I think a lot of the last couple of years we've really taken pride in our defense, just being tough with that and knowing what each player does. And so I think we worked a lot offensively this last few months just to make sure our offense is also progressing. But then we want to make sure our defense isn't slacking at all. So I think just putting those two together and then going in, we obviously match up well with them, just knowing what each player does personally and limiting those things. So limiting shots for the shooters, taking the left hand away for the lefties, knowing which shoulder the posts are going to go over, just having not only the people guarding them understand that, but everyone on the team just so helping one another. So I think just having the knowledge of what each player does really helps us match up well with them.
So you mentioned the defense and how well the Bearcats have played, and since Coach Myers come in, has really implemented a pretty tough-nosed Bearcat defense. Through the non-conference, it's the offense has been really good, but they're at times maybe giving up a few too many points. Is that just kind of getting in the flow of, all right, kind of knocking down a shot and getting back and kind of knowing those assignments and making sure everybody is on the right page mentally?
Yeah, I think we obviously try and work hard on defense, but we have had quite a few breakdowns throughout the season so far, just the little things we work on every day in practice that we know we just kind of forget sometimes when we get in games. So just really going back on film and watching those and seeing what we need to work on, and then working on staying focused throughout the games and not letting up as the game progresses, and just keeping a solid defense throughout the whole game.
Northwest taking on Missouri Southern on Thursday, then on to Pittsburgh State for a matchup on Saturday as the conference season gets underway. So, Molly, this team's been on the road a little bit already, had some time in hotels. Now you get to go your first MIAA trip. Take us behind the scenes. What's this team like when you're on the road trips, on the bus, that sort of thing?
Oh, this team is a delight, man. just being around these girls every day, I couldn't ask for anything better. Our team chemistry is just wonderful. Being in the hotel rooms, I mean, we all hang out together. We only get one roommate, so we spend our time outside of that, either in the lobby playing cards, hanging out, playing games in the hotel room with one another, and, you know, always find a good way to laugh and make it enjoyable for the time that we have.
So you have to be focused for the game. Is there anybody that had to say, you've got to tone this down just a bit, we've got a game tomorrow, so you need to get to go to bed, stop making prank phone calls?
It would probably be me or Jill.
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely me or Jill.
I used to be roomed with Molly, so I would keep her in line, and we'd go to bed on time.
You're like, I need someone else that can actually get some sleep at night. I heard a rumor that you guys like to fancy yourselves as the all-comedy team.
Oh, 100%.
All MIAA comedy team.
Yeah.
We say that, but I think anyone else who knows us would also agree, so.
Oh, 100%. We definitely are the funniest people ever.
Are you and Jill the funniest on the team?
Jill and Emma, probably.
Emma, really?
Molly's definitely up there. I'm a sneaky,
we all bounce
funny.
Off one another, so once one person gets going, then another, and then we all just keep jumping in and
we build off of each other.
Ridiculous, so
it never ends.
So now that Macy Williams is back as an assistant coach, I feel like the energy she brings probably just adds to that as well, to where it's a group that has a lot of fun on these trips like this.
Yeah, she does that a lot, and everyone, I think, makes it fun in their own special way. Like, even if you're, you know, not the funniest, or don't, you have like little side comments that are always like, you say them under your breath kind of, but we still hear, and it always gives a giggle. But
yeah, everyone does a great job. And then Macy, just coming in, she's the same person every day, bringing the energy all the time, positive, always helping us on the side. So yeah, she's been a great addition.
Northwest getting set for conference play to start this weekend, taking on Missouri Southern and Pittsburgh State. So circling back to basketball just briefly, Mallory McConkey, Kylie Coleman, their careers come to a close, and they move on. Caitlin Jordan, there's no seniors on this team. Of course, there are some players that have been around the program with the COVID years and everything else. Is it easy finding that leadership? Does it all just kind of fall into place as you get into practice?
I think there's definitely different types of leaders on our team. Like, we have vocal leaders, we have competitive leaders that'll bring everybody together. Emma really talks and brings all the energy. I try and bring everybody with competitiveness. Jana also is one of our good leaders that talks and vocalizes like what needs to be happening on the court. We've recently started huddling up after each play and like knowing what we're in, like what we're doing, and like kind of bringing that energy in that huddle to get the next play done or get the stop on defense.
Now, is the huddle something that the players said, let's do this, or is that the coaches saying, let's make sure we're all on the same page?
It's kind of both. I think they wanted us to do it, but also, like, last year we started it, but it wasn't quite, like, a good uniform huddle. So, like, we've been practicing, like, getting in tight, talking to everybody, chipping in some information, and quickly communicating.
And depending on the score, cracking a joke and then going from there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Every once in a while.
There's always time for those.
Emma, for you, so we kind of talked before going on. Game one last year, tweak your knee, you're in a lot of pain, you play pretty much the rest of the season, and then you kind of go through some rehab. What was the off season like? Can you take us back through what you've gone through and what's held you out up until Sunday's game?
Well, yeah, so I played last year. We didn't really know at the beginning of the season if my ACL was torn or not, so I just had the option to either rehab and try to play or to get surgery. So I chose to play. It wasn't the most ideal, and I definitely wasn't 100%, but I just kind of had to figure out what I could and couldn't do that would benefit the team. So, yeah, so at the end of the season, I got surgery in March, and then, yeah, rehabbed all summer, worked out. I got cleared by my surgeon in about July, but it was pretty early, and just with my history of ACL tears, there was no point in rushing back for non-conference, as important as they are. Basketball is such a long season that the coaches and trainers just really wanted me to be like 100% for conference when the games really like amp up a lot. So yeah, I went through all preseason. I would do drills. I didn't get to scrimmage till about 2 months ago. So then I had about, I was limited scrimmaging coming back. And then this last month was like full go practice. So, as hard as it was, and I was very frustrated with sitting out, looking back, I'm glad I did. And the build up time really, I think, helped me gain confidence back, like not only basketball wise, but just physically, and not favoriting my knee or anything. So yeah, it was a long process, but thankful for it. Grew a lot mentally.
Well, it seemed like at times you'd have games where you'd play well, but it still kind of felt like you were fighting it. And then as you go through Sunday's game, especially in the second half, I'm like, all right, Emma kind of looks like she's back to being herself. Did it feel like things were normal, like a few years ago prior to being injured?
Yeah, I don't remember how I said it to you. It might have been my dad after the game, but I was like, I kind of forgot what it's like to play basketball when I'm healthy. So just because all last season it wasn't 100%. So yeah, I mean, I was nervous, obviously, coming in. Not really, like, physically wise, but I just wanted to, like, perform well, so I was just nervous. But, yeah, I think just not overthinking it and also just understanding, like, I'm thankful to be out there, whether I'm scoring or not, like, just to be with my teammates and to be able to play again. So I think that took a lot of pressure off of me, just, yeah, going out there and playing. And, yeah, I felt great afterwards, so. Yeah.
Molly, can you feel that as you get Emma back, healthy, everybody playing at a high level, that this team, boy, this is a team that won 17 last year and is ready to take another step forward?
Yeah, I'm really thankful to have her full go. Obviously, last season it was tough having her, you know, not 100% to be at her full potential. But I think, obviously, having her build up into these practices and these games, she's at her full go, and she's going to be tough to stop against everybody. I mean, she's a bucket, so.
Thanks, Molly.
Northwest meeting up with Missouri Southern on Thursday. Of course, a week ago Thursday was Thanksgiving. Did you guys go overboard? You had a chance to get a couple days off, go home, maybe have some Thanksgiving with the family. Did you go too far?
No. Ate a lot, but not
too far.
Kept it
within reason.
I think we know when to stop.
We had practice the next day, so can't go too far.
Meyer made sure before he left not to consume 5,000 calories. It would be a little rough when we got back. So I think that was scarred enough in our brains that we knew when to stop eating.
Sounded like a little extra running maybe on Tuesday, then plenty when he got back too on Friday. So that's good. Emma, Molly, thanks for the time, and good luck this conference season.
Thank you.
That is Emma Atwood and Molly Hartnett joining us here on the KXEV Bearcat Coaches Show as the Bearcats take on Missouri Southern and Pittsburgh State this week. We'll take a break and be back with more on KXEV KRNW.
Support for KXEV KRNW comes from Losh Optometry. Serving Maryville and the surrounding area, Dr. Ryan Losh and his staff provide patients with eye exams, eyeglasses, including progressive and bifocal lenses, contacts, and sunglasses. More information available at 660-241-5001.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Sure Ag LLC with locations in Forest City, Savannah, and Osborne. Paxton, Randy, Rich, and the Sure Ag team provide the region with fertilizer, chemicals, and other farm supplies. More info on products and service at 660-446-3376.
Support for KXEV KRNW comes from the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at bearcatsports.com.
Support for KXEV KRNW comes from the Maryville Forum, providing local news, sports, and information Monday through Friday, and news updates throughout the day at MarylandDailyForum.com. More at 660-562-2424.
Support for KXEV, KRNW comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in-store or at pizzaranch.com.
And welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Time now to turn our attention to men's basketball. It's Mitch Mascari joining us from the men's basketball team. And Mitch, good to have you with us here on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And boy, you're off to a great start and open up the season with a good performance against West Texas A&M. And then on Saturday against Morningside, a new career high scoring coming off the bench. Really couldn't ask for a better start for you individually as well as the team here.
Yeah, it's been fun. We're really starting to gel as a team, and playing with these guys, it's so much fun. It's so, they make it so easy. So
yeah, that's one of the things that really strikes me watching you guys through the years is not only do you win an awful lot, but it looks like your guys are having a lot of fun doing it. Now, if granted, winning makes it easier to have fun, I guess, in the long run. But it looks like it's a team that enjoys being together and a team that just goes out on the floor and just has a pure love of playing the game of basketball.
Yeah, like even off the court, like we just love hanging out with each other. Like we'll sit in the locker room for hours on end just talking and hanging out. So it's not just on the court, it's off the court as well. We just really gel together.
And I think that's something that obviously you as players play a huge role in, but I think Ben and Zach and everyone with the program bringing, they kind of go for guys that they know will gel like this. And it seems like you guys just have that chemistry built in that really is a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, I don't know how they do it. It seems like everyone just gels really well, and some personalities are different than others, but it makes it even more fun.
And the thing that also strikes me is you guys have an awful lot of talent coming in, but you buy into the team concept of things where I don't think any of you really care who gets the points from game to game, just as long as the job gets done, and whoever has a hot hand, you guys kind of feed, and that's fine with everybody out there, where there's not a lot of ego out there on the floor.
Yeah, I think it all goes to the coaches as well as the players that have played through this program. It's as soon as you come in as a freshman, like you can just tell, like this culture is different. Like there's something about it that no one really cares about themselves. It's all right, if this guy's got the hot hand, we'll feed this guy. If this guy's feeling good, then we'll feed this guy. So it's never internal. No one's ever like just focusing on themselves, which is makes it easy to play.
Now, you come to the Northwest program from Geneva, Illinois, and I would imagine there were some schools a little closer to home that maybe you had an opportunity to go play for. But what really stood out, was it the culture thing that when you got on campus you were able to just pick up on immediately that this was the place where you wanted to spend your years as in college basketball?
Yeah, culture as well as just MAC and all the coaching staff is they're very transparent through the whole recruiting process. They tell you exactly what it's going to be like. They tell you it's not going to be easy, which, you know, say what you will, but I wanted to challenge myself coming into my college career, so I knew that Northwest was a good spot for me, and just seeing how the players interacted with each other, it's hard not to say yes, I'll come here.
And I imagine some of those off-season workouts can be a little tough for you.
Yeah.
Those for early sure. Morning workouts and things, but I guess that's not only as far as getting you in shape for the regular season, that's where a lot of bonding takes place, doesn't it, for the team and get to build that team chemistry.
Oh, yeah. Going through that kind of stuff together and as a team, like the coaches aren't going to help you out, right? So you got to rely on each other to help others get through the workout. If someone's not feeling great that day or they're struggling in a certain workout, you got to push them through and show them that they'll be all right.
Now, let's just kind of talk about the past couple of years for you. I think as the season went along last year, it just seemed like you became more and more comfortable on the floor in your role and coming out and giving the team some instant offense, maybe coming off the bench there, especially right around playoff time last year. And that strong run, you had a great game against Augusta in the championship game and kind of picked up and carried on right where you left off last year. Talk about that development of your game in particular, and as you were able to more and more become a player that could be counted on, either coming off the bench or a couple games here starting this year. How did all that develop for you?
Really just practicing with the guys. Like even some games, if I didn't play that much, they still trusted me when I did come in, and they still had unlimited confidence in me, to whether it was shooting the ball or guarding or whatever it was. So when you see those guys on the floor have that confidence in you, it kind of gives yourself a little confidence that yeah, you know, I can do this. And like, feels good.
And that national championship game, no game bigger that you could play for a national television audience, playing for another national title there. And you came out and really delivered, I think, what, 11 points in that game, I believe, off the bench that really played a factor in that win. And just kind of talk about being ready to go in a game such as that and how much fun that game was for you.
Oh, man, it's so much fun. I've dreamt of that moment for a long time. So I knew that once I got out there, I was going to attack and not leave it up for grabs. I kind of wanted to just go out there and do what I could to help my team win.
And that was, a very talented Augusta team. That might have been as talented a team as you played in a national championship game in the last several years. And they just had a lot of guys out there. And you guys just matched up and played well.
Yeah, they're a very good team. I think they have, like, the same team this year as well, so maybe we'll see them down the road.
That could very well be. Now, as you started this year, again, what you opened up with another tough team, West Texas A&M, that's traditionally been in the Elite Eight, and you faced them in the Elite Eight a couple of years ago, but ranked number five coming in, and a big win to start with. And, again, you had to come off the bench in that one with West going down with an injury, and really no let up there. You came out, got some big points in that game, and helped them do the win in that matchup.
Yeah, Mac had us ready for that game. We knew that Mac always likes to schedule a little difficult teams. So right off the bat, we were playing the number five team in the country, which was fun. It was a good test right away. So they're always a well-coached team. They had good players, and we were ready for them.
And a good win and a good performance on your part. And then the Saturday, Morningside, another non-conference matchup, probably not to the level of what you saw at West Texas or some of the teams, or Northern State that you've already played this year too, but come off the bench, and it seemed like you had the hot hand right off the bat there, just knocking down threes right and left in that game.
Yeah, I mean, I got it going pretty early, and I said it on the radio post-game, it's kind of like playing with those guys, playing with DB, Bennett, Zay, it's almost like they find me open before I realize I'm open sometimes. So they make it really easy to shoot, you know. They draw so much attention, so I just try to do my job.
I imagine with some of those passes, you just have to be ready for the ball.
Yeah, exactly.
Once you get across midcourt, they're going to find you somehow at times.
Exactly. Sometimes they're not looking at me, but I got to be ready for it all the time.
I imagine that's a lot of fun, too, just to play with guys like that.
Oh, it is. It is.
And a good win against Morningside to kind of gear up for the conference season now as you get started. And, again, as you alluded to, a pretty tough non-conference schedule, which is something that you mentioned Coach McCollum likes to do. And really gets you really set, I think, for the conference, which I know we've talked about this in the past, but as tough as any in Division II.
Oh, yeah, for sure. MIAA is always a great conference, so we know what we got to do to get ready for Missouri Southern and Pitt State this week.
Yeah, again, all going on the road to face those two. And first of all, Missouri Southern, new head coach down there. But are they doing anything different with the new coaching staff and maybe a few new players coming into the program this year than what you've seen?
There have been a few new guys, but for the most part, it's basically the same team as last year. They have a transfer that I know of, so I'm sure they'll have different looks for him since he's one of the primary ball handlers for that team. So we'll be ready.
All right, and then, of course, Pittsburgh State down in Pittsburgh, Kansas. You open up on the road, and, again, it doesn't seem to matter too much. Obviously, you've got, a 17-game winning streak coming in here where you guys play well on the road as well at home. But just how much fun do you guys have together on the road with that, again, a group that likes to be around each other a lot, where it seems like you take the challenge of being on the road very well?
Oh, yeah, it's like I said, like we just – we really are really united as a team, so going on the road, hanging out in the hotel, going to the hot tub, whatever it is, it's a lot of fun.
And coming off Thanksgiving break, you had a little bit of a break from the games with that tune-up on Saturday with Morningside. How'd Thanksgiving break go for you?
Good. I didn't get to go home, unfortunately, just because it's a long drive, but some teammates and I had a Thanksgiving dinner at our house, so... Byron's dad and some of the parents put in money and got us some home-cooked food as well as some Hy-Vee food. So we had some turkey. We had some Thanksgiving food.
So did anybody cook up the turkey, or did you find something that didn't take a lot of cooking there for that?
It was already cooked, so thankfully we didn't have to burn down the house and do that.
That would be kind of a little bit of a downer for Thanksgiving. Yeah.
That would have been something. That would have been an experience for sure.
Yeah, well, it's been fun watching you up to this point. And, Mitch, I know you got a lot of good things ahead of you, too. It's been fun to watch you progress through this program. And really looks like you're set for another good year.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Mitch Mascari with us here on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We'll be back. We got more for you from Pizza Ranch right after this timeout. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Northwest Cell, located at 1218 South Main in Maryville. Along with nationwide coverage, Northwest Cell carries a full line of iPhones, iPads, and Androids. More information on plans and devices is at nwmcell.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Twaddle Realty. Whether it's residential, commercial, or a farm property, broker Brian Twaddle can list it and market it through custom 3D virtual tours, pictures, and more. For information on all listings in the Maryville area, 562-7562 or online at twaddlerealty.com.
Underwriting for this program is provided by Tri-State Ford in Lincoln at 2017 South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the area a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles, as well as pre-owned vehicles. More information available at tristatefordlincoln.com or 660-562-3677.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, located on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fanwear as well as custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout Bearcat Nation.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in-store or at pizzaranch.com.
And welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show, joined now by Director of Athletics at Northwest Missouri State, Andy Peterson, as I'm probably Andy away from a discussion with Matt over here.
Well, he won't listen to me, John.
Well, he doesn't listen to anybody.
Well, so he doesn't have to. He's on the radio. He gets paid for people to listen to him. And so when you challenge that, he gets a little sensitive. That's all I'm saying.
Now, what was it he was wanting you to do as we come on the
air? He would like me to wish my parents a happy anniversary from yesterday. And I told him, just you wish him happy anniversary. Like, and also happy anniversary to Matt's parents today, right? And you know what I'm going to do, Matt? I'm also going to wish your parents a happy anniversary today. And there we go. All bases covered. Thank you, thank you.
All right, so we got the important stuff covered here. Now,
correct.
Talk about Northwest Athletics. Tell you what, you couldn't ask for better fall. My goodness, every one of the fall teams having so much success this year. It has to be a lot of fun for you.
It's been a lot of fun. I think the only person that enjoys it more than me is Coach Mark Rosewell. I think he's been here a while, and when he comes up to you, when he comes in your office and knocks on the door and walks in and says, Andy, best fall ever, it actually carries some weight. There's a lot of times Rosie comes in my office and he has to tell me something and it's not important, right? But when he comes in and, you know, with his – I mean, he's been here a while, right? And he's very savvy on basketball, football, volleyball, soccer. I mean, he's been around it all forever. So for him to come in and give his blessing upon the fall is rather significant. Obviously, his guys, his doubles team went to Rome, Georgia, and had a great fall as well. So, no brag, just fact, right, Rosie? That's part of the deal. It's been awesome fall. Obviously, you couldn't be more proud as an athletic director with, volleyball winning the first ever conference championship, soccer making it to the regional for the second time in a row, obviously being a goal or two away from their own conference championship in their own right. You know, football having their backs against the wall after week six. And so for the last 5 weeks of the year, playing, I think three of the five were above 500 teams. Those same three were two lost teams vying for their own playoff position. Two of the three on the road, Kearney and Emporia, and winning all those games, going on the road to an undefeated Wichita, beating them, and then going toe-to-toe with the best team in the country at their place, having a lead with 2 minutes to go. And you could argue one way, probably could have, should have won that game. Is what it, I mean, just, all our, like I said, Rosie's crew, Paige Hoffman for golf, and us having a great fall, cross-country women making the nationals from regionals, which was a very, very nice surprise, right? We were all looking at the results, trying to find Caroline's name on there, and hopefully Amber going as individuals, and their names on there, I thought, what in the world? So I had to scroll back up to the top, and then I find, you know, Northwest Missouri State as a team qualified. So unbelievable stuff. I can't give all of our coaches enough credit and thanks for them leading our people, and then also our support staffs, you know, the people like Lori Hopkins getting everybody, making sure everybody's eligible as the start of the year goes. Kirsten's working through all of our budgets and making sure people's travel schedules are ready to go, and gym schedules, and Troy fundraising, and then Colin and Ryan, all the stuff that they do to get stories out and to promote us on social media and on the website and everything. Athletic trainers, keeping kids healthy, getting kids healthy, being there for student athletes all the time, and then Joe Q and his staff making sure that everybody's in shape and able to compete at the level we want to. It is a team effort, I'm extremely blessed and thankful to be here and to be kind of supporting them. The worst part is I got to talk to Matt Trenton every now and then.
Oh, I know. Well, that's a burden we all bear there, but. But and the one thing that on the basketball court that you see this year on one of the sidelines are culture wins, and it really seems that is the case at Northwest Missouri State. And what is the factor that builds the type of culture that where you see the success these student athletes are having?
I think a big piece of it, and I don't think I'm making this up. I truly believe a big piece of it is that our entire department is in Lambkin. All of our athletic training, all of the strength conditioning, those facilities, all of our head coaches' offices, we are all in Lambkin. And it's not organized up and down the hallway based on fall sport, fall sport, fall sport, then the winter sports, and then the spring sport. I mean, Skip is the first office you come to, baseball, and then Rosie competes in the fall, and then it's soccer, competes in the fall. Rosie competes in fall and spring, and then soccer, and then softball, and then volleyball, and then basketball, and then football, right? And so it doesn't matter what time of the year, you're walking by somebody's office to get to yours who's in season. And so there's a natural, you know, hey, was at the game Saturday, look good, great, awesome, or, you know, bad, hey, what happened this weekend, you know, whatever. And so there's a ton of just that shared responsibility or accountability for we are all in this together. You know, and it goes back to, you know, Steve Tatmeyer, Gene Steinmeier, Mel Churchma, you know, these guys that have been around, you know, Wayne Winstead, guys have been around and had success and for a long period of time, right? Not just flash in the pan 2-3 years and then they're gone. Continued success. And so when you see that, I think it's part of the continuity we've had with our coaching staffs too, is you get here and you love it. I mean, Lori Hopkins tells everybody every time I hear her introduce herself, she came here as Stein's assistant in 2001 or two or whatever, and her plan was to be here 2 or 3 years and move on. Well, fast forward 20 years later, and she's in a leadership role, you know, helping us day in and day out. And it just kind of grows. You know, Coach Scott Bostic always said that, you know, you got to be careful when you move to Maryville because this place will grow on you, right? And so, you know, I just think that commonality of where we live, work, in that hallway, it just kind of has propagated the culture wins piece, you know, from football, from basketball, from tennis. These programs that have traditionally been really good for a long time, you know, Amy's caught on now. Coach Gordon has obviously bought in. You know, Skip won a conference championship 3 years ago. Naomi's, Taya's softball coach, she's young and learning every day. You know, they're going to be much better this year, just having a year under their belt and figuring things out, new culture stuff. So, and not that any of our older coaches were bad. It's just part of that growth of the department, and we are all in this together. And instead of it being competitive about, oh, well, women's golf gets everything. You know, they've got all the facilities, all the scholars. Woe is me. That's not the way it is. It is, hey, this is the hand we're dealt as a group. Let's go and compete and try to be the best we can and rise to that standard of football, rise to that standard of men's basketball, rise to the standard of men's women's tennis, and now rise to the standard of volleyball, rise to the standard of women's soccer. This is who we are now. We're going to compete for conference championships and make it to regionals. And if you can compete for conference championships in this league, you probably are good enough to compete for regional and national championships. It's just part of the deal. Just our staff kind of growing together in that, but also just accepting it is kind of where that culture's come come to fruition.
You know, one of the things, too, that strikes me is during the fall, when all the fall athletes are busy practicing, competing on their own, you look at a volleyball match, and you look over on the side, and you've got a lot of the football players coming over after their practice is done, cheering them on. Some of the basketball players, both men and women, cheering them on. And then when that they're on the field, then the others are cheering on. It just seems like, again, I know it can be trite to say it is a family there, and all the athletes kind of care for each other and want to see the other athletes have success as well as the coaches.
Yeah, I know you had the all what'd you have here earlier, the women's basketball, the all laugh team, what were they? The all comedy team. Those two ladies, Emma and Molly, I don't know that they missed a fall event at home. That volleyball, soccer, football, the cross country meet. I mean, there are athletes at every event, and it's just kind of that piece of you share the weight room, you share the athletic training room, you go up to your coach's office to watch film or to have a meeting, and you bump into, you know, another athlete that just got done with their meeting or just got done watching film or whatever the case may be. So you just live in the same areas, and you understand each other. You understand the sacrifice of Joe Q at 5:30 in the morning, who's, you know, chipper and happy and excited, and you're just rolled out of bed and you're not real thrilled about it, but there's a community there of I understand what you're going through, I understand the expectation, I understand that, you know, that that expectation to succeed, to be successful, to win, and then when you have success, you want to be around it, you want to support it. And so, yeah, our athletes, yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly, John, this fall have done a great job of supporting each other at home events especially, but even on the road, you know, there's many times you'll look over and find a pack of kids that are on the sidelines or in the stands supporting their teammates, or not teammates, colleagues, at away events as well.
Let's talk a little bit more about football. And again, you talked a little bit about the obstacles they had to overcome this year, injuries through the mid portion of the season. You look at even last week, kind of a virus or something went through the team. A lot of guys were probably would have rather been in bed this past weekend, kind of recuperating just because of that. But they came out and played well. That seemed like, and a very young team too this year. When you look at finishing, going through everything they had to overcome, a 10-3 season, a great record. A lot of schools would absolutely love to have that record. And this is a team that really built for the future too. You look at the roster up and down the lineup, how young they were this year. I think a lot of people overlook that and overlook the obstacles they had to do to finish up with such a great season.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was one of the big bugaboos going into the year, was how young we were and how, I mean, we had no experience coming back in many, many spots because COVID allowed a lot of student athletes to come back for an extra year. And Rich, like most coaches last year, I'm going to trust a sixth year guy over a redshirt freshman most of the time, right? Because he's been through it, he's played in big football games, etc. So, I mean, last year we had 16 or 17, I think, seniors that played, started. And when you're thinking, you know, we've got 22 starters anyway, and 17 of them are seniors, you're not going to bring back a whole lot of talent. We did with Elijah Green, Zach Howard, Sam Phillips, you know, Isaac Volstead, Braden Wright were your main five that have seen. Other than that, you had a lot of Mitch Goff, had a lot of guys that did not have much at all, if any, experience, right? And so that was the big question mark going into the season, was, holy cow, how are we going to get through this? And, you know, the coaching job that our staff did this year with that youth is incredible. And people don't realize that. All they look at is, oh, we didn't win another national title, and so something's wrong. Well, if you sit back and look at what those guys did, especially like I said earlier, you're 4-2 after week six. You lose at Central Oklahoma with five turnovers. You go to Pitt and lose by two after not having a very good first half at all, right? Having a chance to win the game. You are up again. Playoffs started for us week seven, literally. And those young guys answered the bell. I mean, we had, you know, just go through the game. Northeastern State, you know, we handled, and Missouri Southern was probably one of the better defensive efforts we had all year. But to come back and win Washburn after we're down three with whatever it was, 30, or down one or two with 30 seconds left, and for the offense to fly up the field, Cole Lammel, who nobody trusted in Bearcat Nation other than the guys in the football locker room last year, for Cole Lammel to come in and hit that field goal to win that game, It's like, okay, here we go. And then you see the guys start to believe and start to understand, hey, we're pretty good. I belong here. I'm a Division II athlete. My coaches recruited me here because of that, and now I'm getting a chance to do it. And then you go to Kearney, and everybody's like, well, those guys are going to run all over us because they're off and whatever. And we handle them at their place, you know, come home, beat Southern. And then you go to Emporia, which, you know, Emporia hasn't beat us since whenever, 1994, which Coach T would tell you everybody beat us then, which is true. and you know, well, this is the year that Emporia is going to beat you. And we really handled that game, you know, pretty well. And defense, once again, a young guy makes a play at the end of the game. Offense did what they needed to do. I was just really, really proud of that team, that coaching staff, et cetera, for doing what they did this year. I mean, and sit back and look at 18 years in a row of the playoffs through, you know, three head coaches, through how many different classes of student athletes that have came through here, and to maintain that level of success is really absurd. It'll never happen again. I truly believe that. Eventually, the streak's going to end, right? It's going to happen eventually. And when it does, that streak will stand forever. I mean, I'm not throwing shade at anybody, but, like, I mean, Pittsburgh State hadn't been to the playoffs in 8 years. We've been there 18 in a row. It's just absurd to maintain that level of consistency, conditioning, discipline, you name the intangible. Because when stuff like that happens, it's beyond talent and it's beyond coaching, right? It is truly what you mentioned. It's culture of this is the expectation and we're going to go do it. Not to mention everybody in the league circles Northwest Missouri State on their calendar, right? So we're going to get everybody's best shot week one through week 11. And, you know, all of the time for the last 18 years, we've answered the bell well enough to make the playoffs and to have a chance at doing what we want to do every year. So, yeah, I can't speak enough to those seniors that I listed, those five seniors, and the way they were able to lead their younger teammates in, hey, this is how we do things, this is what we want to do. And I'm not saying they were perfect, you know, and I think all those guys would tell you that we weren't perfect and we could have been a lot better and should have been a lot better and blah, blah, blah. But when you really step back and appreciate what they did, it is profound. And as the director of athletics, I'm extremely proud of the whole group.
And you look at you talk about Elijah Green. Just look at some of the honors he's had after this season. MIAA Defensive Player of the Year, Gene Upshaw finalist. And I think in particular something that stands out that you don't see is even if he doesn't win this, the Harlan Hill nominee for the Harlan Hill Award, that's traditionally been something that goes on the offensive side. Sure. To see a defensive player just – be in the picture for that has to say something the type of year he had.
Yeah, and where he came from, right? I think he was a walk-on. Walk-on red shirt from Maryville. That reminds me a little bit of Miles Burnside, that kind of, you know, that type of progress. But then the leader that he is as well, and who he came after. I mean, Sam Roberts was here last year, everybody. Remember that guy? He's playing in the NFL.
Yeah, for the Patriots, I believe.
Yeah, and you just go through the list of the athletes that have graduated from here, and everybody's saying, you will never replace that kid. You will never be able to replace that. Our D-line is going to take a step back. Our secondary is completely new. They're not going to be – our wide receivers aren't going to be what they were. And it's just – it's the Monday morning quarterback or whatever. And when you're not at practice every day, when you're not in the weight room every day, and you're not watching how those kids interact and how they study film and how they – go about their business, you have no idea. We have no idea. I don't have any idea. My office is down the hallway, and I can't understand all the time and effort that those guys put into personal development, stuff like that. So, I mean, yeah, guys like Elijah Green, Zach Howard, Sam Phillips, and what they were able to pull out of their teammates is just extraordinary. The guy that doesn't get enough credit, actually he gets probably a lot more scorn than anything else, is Braden Wright. The kid started as a freshman, right? Went to the playoffs. You know, God bless him. I was giving him hugs after the game, and he's like, I am so sick of Michigan, right? I mean, his career, yeah. I mean, all 4 years we've lost in Michigan, you know? But just the type of kid he is, the leader that he is, to be the starting quarterback at Northwest Missouri State your freshman year, and then to really be in a quarterback battle the next 3 years with Mike Cohensey. And those guys have a great relationship. It's absurd. It's just crazy. But just Braden's leadership with the wide receivers, with the O-line, in a role that it's not ever been easy, right, since Mike's been here, because there's competition there. And Braden has just handled that with such grace and such maturity. It really is one of the main reasons why we were successful. You know, and our offense had our struggles, you know, like any team would do through the course of the year. But that leadership from Braden in arguably a backup role, it has been profound and supported Mike. You know, Mike had some injuries, obviously, through the year. He was sick this week. That's why he didn't start. It was because he didn't take any reps or practice, that sort of thing. And for Braden to do what he did, you know, people love to get on social media and string him up for not playing well. Gee whiz, we wouldn't have been there if it wasn't for Braden, right? Especially the last 2-3 years, but not especially through the last 2 or 3 years, but especially this year. I mean, the game at Pitt, he was a wounded warrior himself and just kind of sucked it up and sacrificed his body and well-being for his teammates and for his program. And that kind of stuff is – that's what people don't see. They won't ever see. Those kids don't want the accolades for it. They just love each other. They love – they love their captain brethren, and they love their teammates. They love their coach. They love their school. They love football, et cetera. And that's the culture piece of Culture Wins that nobody understands unless you go through it.
It's been just such a fun fall to watch all these student athletes and talk to them here on this particular show too, where we get a chance to get to know a lot of not only the players from football or basketball, but the cross country and the soccer and the volleyball. It's just been so much fun to get to know those players as well, and it's going to be a fun winter, I think.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's the best part of my job, right? Is I win and lose a lot more than I did when I was a coach, right? Because I'm responsible for everybody. But it's truly so much fun. One of my highlights of the year was going to Bemidji, believe it or not, with the soccer team, even though it was 20 degrees and snowing and icy cold. But just to see those young ladies compete like that and be at a place where we really hadn't been before as a program. But just to get, I mean, those are top notch people. Those young ladies, just unbelievable people, and in our role, an administrative role, I get to see, like you're saying, you guys get to interview them on Tuesdays, some of them, but you get the all comedy team, you get the goofballs on soccer. We've mic'd up some people at practice and listened to them. They're just unbelievable people, and they're gonna be professionals in something other than athletics for the most part, right? You get the Sam Roberts and you get the Trevor Hudgens and you get those kids. Those are the exceptions, right? The status quo are the professional teachers, the professional marketers, the professional farmers, whatever they turn out to be. But they spend 4 and 5 years with us playing sports as a means to an end to get their degrees, and they're successful people on top of all of it. So that is the most fun of my job, is to get to spend it with these athletes that – they're not in the spotlight. They're not the starting quarterback. They're not the goalie, et cetera, where everybody sees them and sees all that. They're, you know, the second or third stringer that is kind of they're the class clown. They're the locker room goofball. They're the life of the party that builds the culture piece that really allows the team to be successful on the field, on the pitch, on the court, whatever. But yeah, that's by far and away the best part, and I'm glad. I appreciate you guys and what you do with this type of thing to give folks that kind of insight, because that's really what makes Division II special, is that ability to meet and connect with student athletes that you don't get really anywhere else, I don't think. So that's kind of the magic of it, and without a doubt the best piece and the biggest reward for watching these young people grow up.
All right, well, Andy, it's good to have you on the show, and I know we'll have you on from time to time the rest of the year as well.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it.
Again, that's Director of Athletics at Northwest Missouri State, Andy Peterson. You're listening to KXCV Maryville and KRNW Chillicothe. For Matt Tritton, I'm John Coffey, and so long for Pizza Ranch.